And I want to draw your attention to two verses, the 13th verse and the 14th verse. Matthew chapter 7, and it's not like you've never heard them before, but the Lord been dealing with me about this morning, and we'll just see what he has to say. Enter in at the straight gate, actually the Greek says narrow. Enter in at the narrow gate, for broad is the gate, and spacious is the way that leads to ruin, and many are going that way. Now here's why they're going that way. Because narrow is the gate, and restricted, the way is restricted to the point that you have to press into it, and few find it. Now that's, I'm just giving you the what it means. I'm not reading it verbatim, so don't look for that, okay? But that's what it means. It's a wide way, a wide gate. And in contrast to a narrow way, a narrow gate, the way being so narrow that it takes effort to go that way. Then in John chapter 14, another very familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the life, the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, I'd never really just given a whole lot of thought to it, but the two ways, and the Lord been dealing with me this morning about religion versus Jesus, and how that religion is a very broad way. The gate's wide, and many are going into it, but it's leading to ruin. And then Jesus is the narrow way, the narrow gate. And you have to press to get through that. As I was pondering on this, the thought came to me that the law is wider and broader than grace. And so we present it the very opposite, because people don't understand either one. The law said you can't do it. Grace says you can't even think about it. Interesting, isn't it? You know, Friday evening and also last night, going down the road, passing churches, and last night was something. And it just grieved my spirit, which tells me that the Spirit of God is grieved. When I get it on the inside, that tells me that God is grieved with that. And it is amazing to me the number of churches that had tremendous crowds. More crowds, I'll guarantee you, than they have on churches this morning. And they're dressed up, Satan, this is what I saw, Satan costume, skeletons, ghost, Dracula. Matter of fact, we even saw a headless woman last night. And then I look at all these things that the church is portraying, and it's crowds are just going to it. Not just Halloween, but all types of things. And they're just going toward that, gravitating toward it. Now, what really amazed me is I'm seeing a trend to where back when I was growing up, the kids did the trick-or-treating. Think about that. So God gonna play a trick on you? You need to abstain from anything like that, okay? But now I'm seeing that it's the adults. And, you know, I was praying last night. It just grieved me. Just talking to the Lord and asking Him, you know, to have mercy on us, forgive us. We're so stupid in what we're doing. I'm talking about the church. I expect the world to act like the world. But the church is to be a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, what I was seeing was church after church after church after church representing the devil. Isn't that amazing? And today, I don't know if you know it or not, today, November the 1st, is All Saints Day. But how many of you know what All Saints Day is? Or where All Saints Day originated? With Pope Gregory. Out of the Catholic Church, Pope Gregory, from which we get our Gregorian calendar, to where he changed times, okay? And All Saints Day honors the dead saints. Think about that. A saint's not dead if he's a saint. You understand? He just passed from death to life. He's experiencing more life than he's ever experiencing. And then they came up with this thing, Halloween, as the eve of All Saints Day, where they would build their altars to the dead, bring gifts for the dead. God's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living, isn't He? And I never thought about all this, and the Lord just started sharing some things with me this morning and dealing with me on this broad way and this wide gate. I've passed by these churches, and I see you can buy food, you can buy pine needles, you can buy pumpkins, you can buy sweet potatoes. Now, that's on the marquee, so I know you can do those things. I don't know what else they sell. Well, one of them was hot dogs. Buy, buy, buy. And yet, the church is to exist to give freely. Freely you have received, freely give. What are we to be giving? Truth. We're to be giving life. We're to be presenting truth and life, not death and deception. And it bothers me. It bothers me to the point that I see why the nation is on the highway to hell right now. This nation has to go down unless it repents, because it has to be judged. And we need to take this more seriously than we've ever taking it. And I said this morning, I said, Lord, you know, you said preach good news. Well, the good news is that you don't have to go the broad way. We as the body of Christ are going to have, we must stand up and refuse to participate in things that are anti-Christ. You understand that? We must. This is not an option anymore. This nation got to the place it is because the church failed in its mission of representing the Lord. It kept compromising and compromising and compromising, now to where it's brought the devil in and pushed God out. That has to change. And it changes one person at a time. Me? It has to change with me. It has to change with you. I'm to represent the Lord. And I will not participate in Halloween or anything that's anti-Christ. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give out candy. I'm not going to do it. Do you want candy? Come to my house. I'll go buy you some candy, but not on Halloween. I'm not going to do it on Halloween because I don't want to be identified with the devil. You understand? We must take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very narrow way. Now, here's what that deals with. And you know the word carnality? It's actually the Greek word sarkikos, which means pertaining to the flesh, flesh being the Greek word sarx. It means pertaining to the flesh. So if we're walking carnally or we're thinking carnally, we're thinking about the flesh. What pleases the flesh? What makes the flesh happy? You know, people last night, I'm sure, just had a great, enjoyable time in the flesh. And the church was feeding the flesh. You understand? And yet the Bible teaches us to deny the flesh, to crucify the flesh, doesn't it? And we're going to have to wake up to this, to where you reckon yourselves dead to the flesh, but alive to God. To where your attention is not on you, but your attention is on Him. And He's not going to neglect taking care of us. I promise you, the shepherd will take care of the sheep. The father will take care of the children. Sheep out in the pasture are just, they're just out there and happy and dumb. You understand? They're cared for. They're cared for. We should be that way with the Lord, not dumb, intelligent-wise. But we should be that way with the Lord to where we know that He cares for us. So we cast all our care on Him because He cares for us. Right? So we start looking to Him, and the more we focus on Him, the more baggage falls off. Okay? And when you walk this narrow way, you can't be carrying baggage. Simple as that. Now here's the thing about the pressing into it. It's against the flesh. It's against religion. Your friends won't understand it. Probably family members won't understand it. And you have to make the determination of whether you're going to please God or trying to win the favor of people. Now you understand why he's talking about it's a very restricted way, and you have to press through it. You have to press through the emotional trauma of it. You have to press through the intellectualism of reasoning and all these things. Well, if I do this, what will people think? I remember many years ago I preached a message that the Lord gave me, and it went over like a lead balloon. When I got in a car, just driving down the road by myself, I just said, I wonder what the people thought of that, sarcastically. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, don't you ever ask what the people think. You ask what I think. Which that sobered me, you understand. to get your attention. The fact is, we have to make a decision of whether we're going to walk with the Lord or we're going to deceive ourselves. Receiving salvation is easy. Working it out takes much effort. Think about it. God's made it easy. All you have to do is believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, God raised Him from the dead, and acknowledge that you're saved, right? But then it has to be worked out. Your salvation has to be worked out. If I'm saved, what am I saved from? And this came to me. Hope contemplates, faith demonstrates. Now, if you look at contemplate, it means that it ponders, it thinks about it, it's looking at it, it's thinking about it, it's thinking about what it wants. Faith demonstrates. There's no such thing as passive faith. Faith is active. So one who truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is active in that belief, to the point that you don't want to identify with the world, but you want to be identified with the Lord. And I can assure you, it marks you. Now, growing up, we did it very foolishly. We thought it was in the way you dressed and in the way you wore your hair, which was flesh. It's still carnal. So you're trying to be spiritual by doing some carnal thing, which was crazy. And, you know, it put a stigma over the church, and people wanted to hold you at arm's length, and you thought that was a compliment. No, they just thought you were extremely weird because of the way you looked. Okay? But this is not what God's talking about. What will make them think you're weird today is not because of the way you look, but the way you conduct your life. Your manner of living is what's going to get their attention. And some of them will laugh at you. So what difference does it make? You have to forget the people, that God delivers you from the people to where we're God pleasers instead of people pleasers. You understand? And just get to the point to where what they say about you, you don't think about. If I thought about what people said about me, I wouldn't be in the ministry. I would have quit a long time ago. But I learned that I'm not in a popularity contest. Never have been. It would have been a failure. I'm looking for one thing, well done, from Him, not them. You understand where we're coming from? Now this is the thing that the Lord's dealing with me. You choose the gate. You can go with the crowd. You can go with the majority. It's amazing to me. People talk about the majority. Well, the majority does this, that has to be right. Do you know by Scripture the majority is always wrong? Amazing, isn't it? God's always right. His track record's impeccable. Never made a mistake. Has always honored His word. That's the minority, I promise you that. But that's the one we want to identify with. That's the way we want to go. Jesus said, I am the way, or I could say it this way, I am that narrow gate and narrow way, and few are finding me. Many are talking about me. Many will identify. Many will agree that I'm who I am, but they will not become one with me and walk where I walk, say what I say, do what I do. Few. Few. I was thinking last night and again this morning about, you know, the coming of the Lord. When's the Lord coming? At an hour that you think not. It's pretty interesting. You know, from the time I can remember, I was told the Lord could come any day. Well, that wasn't true, but I was told that anyway, okay? Because things had not yet been accomplished. The stage had not been fully set, so to speak. All the props weren't in place. But I can tell you this, at this point in my life, more props have been put in place. The time's nearer than it was, you know, many years ago. I don't know when the Lord's coming. I just know He is. And the reason I know that's because He said He's coming. And He can't lie. So when do I decide to go the narrow way? Today is the day of salvation, always. Now is the time of salvation. You know? And we have to, as the church, we have to wake up. We are the illumination in earth. And when the church fails to shine for Jesus, then Satan comes in the church. And that's why our churches are so dominated by the influence of Satan. But He doesn't appear ugly. Horns, the red suit, as I saw last night, that's not the way He appears. He appears beautiful. He appears in good music, good singing, fireball preaching, or oratory teaching, or whatever. He appears as a minister of righteousness. But is what you hearing in agreement with the Word of God? Now we have the responsibility to bishop our own souls, okay? We're going to have to start screening what we hear through the Word of God. And you will be amazed at how much of the stuff that you like you'll discard if you follow God, because it doesn't agree with the Word. A lot of your messages, I mean, preaching anymore has become a self-motivation. It's more motivational messages than the truth and the integrity of God. It's wanting you to feel good about yourself. We want you to be happy. That life is good. God wants you rich, and God wants you this, and God wants you that. God wants us pure. God wants us righteous. God wants us holy, which simply means sacred, set apart. God wants us set apart from the world to where the world will take notice of us, that we are not like them. Here again, not that they embrace us, but that we are so distinct from them that it does one of two things. It's either going to convict them to where they come to what we have, or else it's going to make them run from what we have and ostracize and do all the malicious things that's being done. There's a lot of persecution against the church today, if you haven't noticed. It's amazing how many Christians are being killed, but the news will never report that. You understand? So it's not that it's coming, it's already here. So we need to get light in a dark world. That way is the wrong way. Yet it has church signs all down that. It talks about God. It talks about Jesus. It'll talk about all the things while you walk down that broad way. This way over here is demonstrating. You understand? It's not talking about it per se. It's living it out in a lifestyle. And this is what God wants out of us. He wants us to be representatives of Him, presenting Him properly. And you can't present Jesus properly by acting like the world, by participating in the things of the world. And we're going to have to come out from among them. You understand that we are noticeably different. Not trying to be, but doing our best to be like Him. Now, if you're pursuing the Lord and you're trying to be like the Lord, believe me, everybody's going to know you're not like the world. There is a distinct difference between light and darkness. There's a distinct difference between God and Satan. And, you know, Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he says, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? You understand? Does God and the devil agree? Do idols agree with Jesus? No. Does evil agree with righteousness? No. We have to get this compromise out of our lives. You want it out of the church, we have to get it out of ourselves. To where we stop compromising for the sake of not being rejected. I'd rather be rejected by men than God. And if I refuse to stand with Him in this world, and I'm ashamed of Him in this world, you know what He's going to say? Or He's already said it in His Word. If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. I don't want Jesus ashamed of me. You understand? And the way He won't be ashamed of me is if I act like Him. Talk like Him. Act like Him. You understand? This is a narrow way, and you have to press hard to get through that because flesh will scream at you. Everything in you saying, I don't like that. I don't want that. I want this. I want that. You have to press through that to where you take authority over the house in which you live rather than allowing the house to rule you. Just talking to the Lord this morning about this vehicle. This is a vehicle. That this vehicle is to bring honor and glory to God. This vehicle is to serve Him by taking the Spirit where He wants it and allowing the Spirit to speak through Him to whomever He desires. To where the actions that come out of this body are actually demonstrating the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the will of God. You understand? It's a narrow way. And I'm tired of people being lied to. It bothers me that the religious arena is deceiving people, making them think everything's all right while they're headed down a path of destruction. You know that destruction is waiting them, and yet they're enjoying the trip, and the church is applauding them on. This has to stop. It has to stop. We have to choose the straight, the narrow. When I was growing up, that was a phrase that was used. You better walk the straight and narrow. It wasn't always spiritual, but you understand. I understood what that meant. Is you don't do what they're doing. But you're different. You know, Daniel and the three Hebrew children are excellent examples. they chose not to protect the flesh, but they chose to stay with the Word of God. They chose to do it God's way. They stood up for the Lord, and the Lord stood up for them, didn't He? Now, that was the testimony that went out to the nation. Had they compromised, that nation would not know about God. But because they refused to compromise, because they took their stand with the Lord, they went against the grain, if you will, the entire nation heard about God. I believe that if we'll take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll get a mindset that we will not compromise for no man, but that we'll stand up and proclaim the truth and the integrity of the Word, not just say it, but live it, then I believe that the message will go out to the nation. Because our God's a God of power. You understand? He's a God of the living, not of the dead. We're not celebrating the dead. We'll never celebrate the dead. We'll continually celebrate the living. I don't celebrate the death of Jesus. I celebrate His birth, His resurrection. You understand? I recognize that He died, but I celebrate the resurrection. What good would the death be had He not resurrected? Anybody can die. That doesn't take talent. That doesn't take power, does it? So we celebrate Him, and we follow in His footsteps to where we become one with Him. Watch what you put in you. I was listening to a preacher last night, and I have a lot of confidence in the person, but he tried to, you know, put a lot of explanation before he made his statement, because he knew he'd probably going to get letters and everything else against him, because people would accuse him of attacking their music and all this. But the thing about it is, the music is conveying the wrong message. It's the music is saying, God, fix us, and you're already fixed. And as long as you're looking for God to come on the scene and touch you, you'll never walk out the reality of already being touched. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from the destruction. But we're looking for a fix. And an interesting thing about that, you get a person fixed, and you go back a few months later, they need to be fixed again. And you go back a few months later, they'll need to be fixed again. And if you did that when they were 20, if they're still living at 80, they'll need to be fixed again. Because they're looking for something spectacular, not realizing that you walk supernaturally every day by getting in agreement with the Word of God. This is the straight and the narrow, to where we refuse to believe anything that doesn't agree with the Word. That's when your body's screaming, you put the Word. No, that's not what the Word says. The Word says this. Line up. You're not the master, so shut up. I'm learning to talk out loud to my body. And that's one thing I'll say. You're not the master, so shut up. The Spirit is the master. You're the slave. Now you serve the Spirit. We have to learn to do this on a regular basis. I've had opportunity this morning. But you must know who your Redeemer is. You must know that we can't be looking at the broad way. If you look at it, it'll entice you. If you don't think about it, you won't do it. So you look this way, and you stay focused. and walk where you're focused. I was thinking, as I was pondering on this morning, I was thinking about driving down a highway, like an interstate or an autobahn. It's very wide, very straight. In contrast to that, driving down a crooked mountain road, which one requires more attention? You better pay attention. You understand? Well, it's the same way with that narrow way. You have to constantly pay attention. You can't be looking this way and that way and talking this and talking that. And, you know, you have to stay focused on the Word of God, focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, to where nothing else matters. All the rest of it's going to pass away anyway. You understand? It's amazing how people spend all their energies building ministries and they're going to pass away. Just like anything else, they're going to pass away. No, this is a fact of living for the Lord, to where our lives are demonstrating. There's a lot of preaching, but very little demonstration. God's wanting us to demonstrate by allowing Him to live His life through us. So we choose, do we go the broad, or do we go the way, the truth, and the life? That's the narrow. But think about it. The way is truth, it's life. But I find too many people don't want to know truth. I find church people, they don't want to know truth. They want affirmation. Truth liberates. Why would you tell a person the truth? To set them free. Truth sets you free. Lies will bind you and deceive you into thinking you're free and hold you in captivity. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed, isn't He? That freedom is down that narrow way where you're pressing, you're putting forth much effort to go that way, but you're as free as a bird, as the old saying goes. You understand? You're pressing. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. You press toward, not because you're wanting something from God. And that's a part that bothers me about people today, even ministers today. It's like they're talking about what they can get from God. I don't think about that. God's going to be fair. God's going to be just. You understand? I don't even concern myself with what's on the other side. I'm concerned with doing what I'm supposed to do on this side, and the other side's going to take care of itself. You understand? But it's this life right now that is so important that we must choose that narrow way that leads to life. It's truth. There's too much deception. Too much deception in the church. Too many people are being ruined. Too many people are being destroyed. Well, God understands. Yeah, He understands that if you sin, and it's sin. That's what He understands. He understands if you're not doing what He says, you're not doing what He says. And He will not compromise that. And, you know, people are counseling people. Well, God made you. He understands that. So it's all right. No, it's not all right. God gave His Son to fix everything that was undone at the fall of man. And it's up to us to embrace Jesus to the point that we become one with Him, that we walk with Him constantly, daily. This is every day. It's not once in a while. It's a daily thing to where we're focused on the Lord daily. And it's amazing how much better your day becomes when you're focused on the Lord. You get up, and if you think about what lies ahead of you, you're overwhelmed. So you get that out of your mind and say, Lord, I thank you that this is a very prosperous, profitable day. And then at the end of the day, you're somewhat amazed that how much has been accomplished that you didn't even think could get accomplished. And you can't explain how. Other than thank you, Lord. You understand? So we have a choice before us. Broad, narrow. Are we willing to skateboard down this side or press to get down this side? And I recommend the pressing. And to me, it's like Moses or Joshua saying, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose the narrow way. Amen? Now, by doing that, you influence other people to do the same. And every one of us is influencing people daily. Whether you realize it or not, you're influencing people. They watch you. And you do the same thing with them. Without even thinking about it, what you're doing, you're watching people and you form opinions. Right? And it's not hard to see if that's the Lord or if it's not the Lord, is it? Their actions I'm talking about. The way they conduct themselves. It's hard to identify that person. Their attitude. Is that the attitude of the Lord or is it not the attitude of the Lord? Are they doing what the Lord would do or are they doing the opposite of what the Lord would do? We have great responsibility. The world needs us. You understand? The world needs us. And there's a lot of people that's in religion that needs to see truth so they'll come out and not be destroyed. I was thinking this morning about where he says concerning Babylon, come out, come out. Come out from the unclean. And that religious arena is unclean. It's not godly. Come out. Get off of the path that's going to kill you. Get onto the path that leads to life, that leads to truth, that leads to freedom, to where you actually experience what true happiness is. Not happiness because of stuff and things that give you a little high for a while and then you need another fix. But you'll understand what true happiness is that's actually generated from the inside. You're happy and you don't even know why. That's the Lord. There's many days I'm happy, but I couldn't tell you why I'm happy. It's not because somebody gave me something, somebody did something, or I did something, or anything like that. It's just, you're just happy in the Lord. That's the real. That's, you know, you understand the genuine versus this counterfeit of broad. Let's get on this narrow, this straight, and let's pursue the Lord. Amen. We have a tremendous responsibility. Let's not shirk our responsibility, but let's live it out. Amen. Represent God. If it's not representing God, leave it alone. Do not dress in a way that's not representing God. Keep the mask off. You understand? Present yourself in a way that God can be seen. Okay? That's the message. I had to make a choice of whether I wanted to deliver this morning. Okay? But I've committed myself to him that I'm obligated to represent him, even when it's not real popular. You have to do it. You know, your own family don't understand things, but you walk it out. You work out your salvation. It's easy to receive Jesus, but you have to put forth effort for Jesus to be seen through you. Not hard to get him in. It's the manifesting him. That's where we have to put forth the effort. That's choice. I choose to be a Christian. Amen.